And today, Ann Carrick is talking about it because Paul's enjoying a little vacation time. On the phone, we have Mike from New Jersey. And Mike, I understand you have a comment related to probably the Houston Astros and the recent cheating scandal.
Yes, Ann. Thanks for hearing me out here today. I think Robert Manfred did a really nice job in his investigation, took his time, and actually the penalties that were handed down were pretty much in line with what I was thinking of several months ago with the suspension of the GM of the Astros and the manager, A.J. Hinch, for the sign-stealing incidents. He needed to make a statement that this is just totally unacceptable and to put a deterrent in other major league teams from attempting to do any type of electronic sign-stealing again.
You know, and today was the first day that I actually saw some video footage of the incident for people who don't even know what we're talking about. You know, my understanding is that the Houston Astros had somebody with it who were watching the catcher's signals to the pitcher. So they figured out what the call is for the pitch and then would relay that message to somebody in the dugout who would then pound on a garbage can to let the batter know what pitch was coming. I mean, I think I got that right. And I'm like, on the one hand, how elaborate and at the same time, how kind of basic that you're hitting a garbage can to like send a signal to the batter to know what kind of pitch is coming. And of course, completely illegal, not allowed. And you agree with the sanctions that came down. And I have to say, you know, sometimes I wonder when we have pro sports where they keep dropping the ball on sportsmanship, you know, at what point do we finally tell somebody that they're not allowed to play anymore?
Well, I think it's coming to that, and I'd like to see what happens with Boston Red Sox manager Alex Cora, because he was the bench coach for the Astros in 2017 when this came down, and he is now the manager and has been since 2018 of the Red Sox, and they're now under investigation for sign stealing, and they had previously been warned about sign stealing with an Apple Watch they did in about mid-2017. So this will be the second sanction against the Red Sox, so you could see a greater suspension for Cora, possibly even 2 years or more.
Right, because it's like a second offense, at least, if
correct.
Not. And who knows how many others. Looks like a track record here. Well, Mike, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate the comments. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this later in the show when Bobby Ramos gets here. And so I don't know if you'll be able to listen, Mike, but I hope everybody else will stay tuned because I know Bobby will have a lot more to say about sports and sportsmanship and the lack of sportsmanship. So, again, thanks very much to Mike from New Jersey. And we're going to get back on track a little bit here with Puerto Rico. Bill Jackman is now on the line, our esteemed meteorologist. Hi, Bill. How are you?
Good, Ann. How are you?
Good. It's been a long time since I actually got to have a conversation with you.
That's true. They've kept us in different rooms.
I know. We've been in this. It's like being interrogated in separate rooms so that we can't share information or something. But I'm glad you could join me because I wanted to talk about the earthquakes in Puerto Rico. You know, having spent a large portion of my life in the Northeast or even on the East Coast, it doesn't matter. You still hear news about Puerto Rico because it's close by. There's a lot of people in this area from Puerto Rico. And you hear about hurricanes. That's very common in the Caribbean. I don't recall ever hearing about earthquakes before. And to have four of them so close together, some of them very damaging and in the same areas, it begs the question of what is going on. So I thought I'd ask you because you might have the answer.
Well, I mean, Puerto Rico actually is in an earthquake area. They do get earthquakes. It's not uncommon. They are basically a little bit of earth science is that earthquakes occur when the plates of the earth rub together or come together they slip. There's a frictional effect. So they're always moving and it builds up enough force and they finally do slip. And when they slip, it causes the vibration. That's what we call earthquakes. And there is a meeting of two plates. One is the North American plate and the other one's the Caribbean plate. And they meet just offshore of the south coast of Puerto Rico. And one of the plates is going under the other and they've been slipping quite a bit. It's not, again, not uncommon. It's just, you know, we're in a cycle where we're hearing about it now, and it's in that specific, part of the world.
Right.
Other parts of the world, of course, are having, volcanic eruptions or having earthquakes as well.
Sure.
but in actuality, they've had in Puerto Rico well over 900 quakes since the beginning of the year.
Ann Carrick in today for Paul Pacelli, and our meteorologist, Bill Jackman, is doing double duty today, not only weather, but he's answering questions about earthquakes in Puerto Rico. And you said that they've had 900 earthquakes. Were they a long time ago? Have we had a long quiet period? Is that why we haven't heard much about it recently?
No, I mean, there are quakes that happen across the earth. There are thousands and tens of thousands of earthquakes that happen globally around the world. A lot of them are undetected. We have some here in the Northeast, and you just don't feel them. They're either too deep or too weak. And again, the major ones you hear about in, you know, along the major faults, like in California, San Andreas Fault, and again, along this you know, North American and Caribbean plate, has now become active. It starts slipping, and it's almost like if you begin to have something have a frictional effect and build up a lot of pressure, once the pressure starts being released and there's a vibration, an earthquake, it causes the next slip to happen sooner and more, and then you have aftershocks, and that plate continues to move and vibrate, some violently, like we've, you know, had a few of those, four or five, in Puerto Rico, but the rest of them are aftershocks, and it continues to shake the ground. And again, it's been in excess of 900 since the beginning of the year.
Well, okay, so I understand that a lot of them, you know, are small. We don't feel them.
Right.
And that's true everywhere. But that's what I said. In my life of living on the East Coast, I don't recall having damaging earthquakes in Puerto Rico. And they certainly don't build their structures in Puerto Rico for earthquakes like they would, say, in California, where they're considered to be more common, or maybe like, I guess more damaging earthquakes are more common, which is why they have building codes to prevent, you know, buildings from collapsing. I don't really hear about that in Puerto Rico, or is it happening and I've just missed it? You know, that's why I said usually we just worry about hurricanes doing damage in the islands. And yes, of course, there are earthquakes everywhere, but are these considerably larger than others? The major ones. I'm not talking about all the shaking in between.
Yeah, a lot of things that happen, which is really ironic, is that we don't normally hear about something until it's something of a damaging magnitude. And those things don't always happen. They actually, even in California, you know, you're familiar hearing California earthquakes, but, you know, there hasn't been a devastating or dangerous or disastrous one in California for a very long time. And that's what causes that. The longer you go without an earthquake along a fault line, the more likely that when it happens, it's going to be big. And that's just the case here in Puerto Rico. We haven't had it in such a long time that plate built up enough frictional effect that when it did let go, it's pretty gigantic. And so if you have a lot of little quakes, the chances of having a major one decreases tremendously. But when you have extreme quiet, then after a while you're going, well, when is this going to let go? Because when it does, it's going to have a lot of force that it's built up to release. And that's what's happening or has happened in Puerto Rico.
I picture somebody shaking a soda bottle, but they don't undo the cap, and then they shake it again. And then, so of course, when you finally open the cap, it's all over everywhere.
Right. And with this sliding effect of the plates, you know, if you figure that you have enough friction that it's not, you know, not slipping, and you rub your hands together, for example, if you push hard enough together, the frictional effect keep your hands from sliding. But if you keep pushing, eventually you're going to let your hands slide, and they go quickly. And,
right.
And that's what the earth does. It violently releases that pressure, and the plates slip, moving the ground, cracking the ground, you know, knocking buildings down. I mean, it's quite a force that happens. And again, it's all around where these plates meet, and there are seven major plates around the earth. We have fractures in the plates. And these fault lines and fractures, or we call kind of fractured zones. There's actually one that goes very close to us here in Bridgeport, up through the Ridgefield area, out of Westchester County through Ridgefield and just south of Danbury. There's a fracture zone in these plates, and sometimes we can get earthquakes on those as well. So, but you're absolutely right. We haven't heard one in Puerto Rico in a while, and that's because those plates have just been building up a lot of pressure, and now they just begin to slip. So aftershocks, another, you know, I can't see us having too many violent earthquakes to follow in Puerto Rico, which is some good news because a lot of that pressure has been released. But what we worry about, and you being, you know, familiar down there, a lot of our listeners are, is that that's an island, which means that if there are offshore earthquakes, if it's the right type, you can get a tsunami, and that is a tidal wave.
Right.
That's generated when a landslide happens under the ocean. It causes an upwelling of the water, and this huge wave comes in. So that's something they were pretty concerned about, because a lot of these earthquakes are happening offshore, but just deep in the ground. They're not surface. But if they're at the surface of the ocean floor, that's when you could potentially get a tsunami.
Right. And I haven't heard anything about tsunamis or, I mean, obviously.
No, they've not done any warnings for tsunamis.
Right. They've
been very deep earthquakes. They've kind of translated their energy to the surface and, you know, vibrated the island. But as far as any slipping that goes of land and things like that in the ocean, that has not happened.
And for people who, obviously people on the island aren't listening to us, but for their families who are here, you know, is there a way to kind of gauge when all of these aftershocks and additional earthquakes are likely to wrap up? I mean, do we see signs now that they're kind of coming to an end?
Well, it's kind of a vibration, you know, it's almost like hitting a pan, you know, or a gong or something, you know, the thing vibrates and to a point you don't even feel or hear it anymore. And, you know, those vibrations will go to where they, you know, you don't feel them anymore. We can't predict earthquakes or volcanic eruptions. Those are things that we just do not have enough information or science on. All we know is similar to what hurricanes hear. You know, it's I always say it's not if a major hurricane is going to hit Connecticut, it's when. And the same thing with earthquakes, just with less science involved. We just have, you know, some indication sometimes that a volcano is going to erupt because we get a lot of volcanic or we get a lot of earthquakes or quakes around a volcano. And that usually means that the magma is reaching, you know, the surface and eventually is going to explode or come out. We don't have such a thing for earthquakes. It's very difficult. We just know that the longer you wait, that the more likely that area that is prone for earthquakes would have it. So given that scenario, because Puerto Rico has been pretty active with the earthquakes, it's a higher likelihood that it would calm down. But there's a lot of damage down there, and they still didn't, you know, recover from, you know, the hurricane. So
no.
There's just a lot of stuff going on down there that just insult to injury.
Yeah, it's been a rough ride for Puerto Rico more than a year at least.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely. And I know a lot of people are very worried about climate change. The earthquake has nothing to do, I assume, with climate change.
Absolutely nothing. No.
Yeah, it's just the ticking time bomb.
It's not a weather-related or atmospheric thing.
Okay.
Yeah, it just happens. Our Earth is living. It's liquid in the middle. It's a liquid rock, a lot of it, you know, tens of thousands of degrees. And we are floating on a very – I'll equate it, Anne, to an eggshell and an egg. We're living on the eggshell, and the liquid center of an egg is like what we are living on for the Earth. It's a liquid rock center, and so the shells are almost like broken pieces that kind of rub against one another and move, and they do, and that's how our continents that are in the position right now, they weren't in that position, you know, a million years ago. The United States wasn't at this latitude, longitude. It was somewhere else. Because we do drift on that liquid center of our planet, and that movement and that drift always happens to cause some instability for us living on top, and this happens to be for earthquakes.
Wasn't that the premise of one of the Superman movies, that he was going to blow up the fault so that they would create an island, there'd be a new waterfront property in California? Never mind.
Yeah, it's just like California, you know, slipping into the Pacific Ocean, that's not going to happen. It's attached to the crust, so it's never going to fall into the ocean. So.
No, I got that. Ann Carrick in for Paul, and we're talking to our meteorologist, Bill Jackman, about Puerto Rico and some of the recent earthquakes. And I have been corrected that they are common. It's just that these are bigger, and so they were felt. You know, I know a while back there was an earthquake here in Connecticut that a lot of people felt. I was busy working at home in my home office, and I apparently didn't feel anything. I saw people posting things on social media. But then I did recall that while I was sitting there working, it sounded like something shifted in the closet and fell off the shelf. And I was like, well, that's strange. I'm just sitting here. Why did something just move in my closet? And I guess that was probably the earthquake. But that goes to your point that you can have a lot of earthquakes that you don't feel a thing.
Yeah, and it really depends on the surface that you're building or what you're on. You know, if it's a sandy type of a material underneath you, you tend not to feel it. If you're attached to a bedrock ledge or you're near something like that, you know, your building will shake more for here in New England. So, again, it really depends geographically what underneath what is your – or I should say the rock structure underneath. So again, the more solid, but that doesn't mean things don't move because again, in Puerto Rico, for example, there's not a lot of bedrock, but there's a lot of sand. But when that whole area moves or the ground vibrates, the sand actually, the soil actually almost liquefies. It's called liquefaction. And what happens is that soil and sand, when vibrated, become almost like a liquid. So structures that are built on it will sink. And that's why a lot of the structures like bridges and buildings will list and turn sideways. And that's just because of that vibration. You can do that at home. Actually get a box of, you know, just even something like a shoebox, fill it with sand, and then put something on it, you know, a can of soda, something, and then vibrate that whole box so that the, you know, sand is moving, and you would see that the can will list or turn or even fall over because it's called that's that liquefaction effect of vibration of a substance like sand or soil.
And just don't open that soda can after you do that, or you're going to spray soda all over the kitchen.
Right. Yeah. There you go.
Exactly. So, well, and I'm glad that we made the point about it is not a climate issue because I know so many things are. You know, our next guests are going to be talking a lot about the fires in Australia, which I know a lot of people think that they think the fires and the droughts, those are an effect of climate change. I don't know where you stand on that, but feel free to comment.
We are having a change in our climate, of course.
Sure.
And our climate does change constantly. It's just that when it starts to affect man and our life here on the planet and affect us, you know, literally physically and, you know, nutritionally and all of that, we sit up to notice. If it does it in a fashion which doesn't necessarily bother us, we tend to just
ignore
it. Happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's happening. It's noteworthy. You know, we're seeing bigger storms. We're seeing just more extreme weather, you know, whether it's warming or cooling. You know, the Earth does go through cycles, and we happen to be going through one which is noticeable. It's not so friendly to us. It makes bigger storms. It causes, you know, things like droughts and fires and, you know, floods and all the extreme things in the environment. So the only thing I just want to caution everybody to against is, you know, man cannot control the weather. We have no way of doing it. And I hope we never find out because once.
Oh, if we could really control the weather, that would be ugly.
That we would have a more of a mess than nature just does for us. But nature does things for a reason. And there are cycles. You know, we have very warm periods, we'll have cold periods. Everything does balance out in time. And so there are reasons, you know, that the planet, that nature does things in extremes. So again, you know, hopefully my hope is that we never understand how to alter the weather because I think we'll be in a worse situation than nature could ever deal us. So,
well, so are you saying, I have two comments on that. I'm not going to have time for you to answer both, but we'll do one and then the other. But one is, so you're saying that some of this is just the weather going through or the planet going through its cycles, not necessarily things that we're doing to the environment. Some of it is just cyclical weather patterns. Right.
Correct. Yeah, I think most of it is just that. Not that we don't have a hand in it. I don't want to get into that discussion because there's a possibility. Of course, we live here. We interact with the environment. There is some kind of effect we're having, but a lot of it is just a natural cycle we're heading into.
Okay. Well, and I always say it never hurts to be nicer to the planet, even
of
if
course.
You think that it has nothing to do with what we're doing. You know, why pollute the planet and ruin things?
Right? You can't lose being nice. So.
Exactly. The other thing I was going to comment on was you're talking about controlling the weather, and there are certainly plenty of ski resorts that are practicing seeding clouds to create snow and some of that kind of stuff. But that's not really controlling the weather. That's something else, right?
Yeah, and way back in the 70s, we did a horrible thing where we were trying to, you know, seed clouds in the Rockies to have it rain on the plains where the wheat fields needed, and we weren't calculating. And finally, you know, the government kind of came forward and said, oh, my God, we made a mistake. And that's when those big Mississippi River floods happened. We were having an effect on the clouds and seeding it. We were calculating that we it took a little longer to happen. So it was raining over the wrong part of the country. And, you know, so some, that's what I mean about man and, you know, putting his hand in that. I think that would not. And then, you know, you're going to get people on this planet. We have all different types of human beings that would like to use that manipulation for bad means.
Sure.
So I just think it's better to leave nature alone, be nice to nature. There will be bad things that happen, but there's a lot of good things that happen too. So always keep things, you know, look positively at what happens with nature.
Right. And I know when I was in Wyoming, they were talking about, it was after they'd had some of the big fires there, and they were explaining that a lot of times people don't know why they don't put the fires out and they let them burn. And they said because they prefer to let nature do whatever it is it's doing in the forest. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously they're going to prevent fires
recycling.
From...
It's a way, you know, when they burn things, it goes back. And so it is a way that nature, you know, recycles and also balances wildlife, balances the life on the planet, you know, because otherwise things will get out of control and be unbalanced. The wildlife,
exactly.
You know, vegetation. So it's sad, I understand, but there has to be a balance on this planet. We have limited resources. So.
Of course. Ann Carrick in for Paul Pacelli. We're talking to Bill Jackelman, our meteorologist, about... Well, we were talking about earthquakes, but then we're talking about, you know, weather patterns. And all I was going to say, Bill, was that, you know, part of what they explained in Wyoming was they let everything burn. One, that's what nature does. And two, they pointed out that because they lost all those trees, which everybody was very concerned about, they said there were all sorts of new plants and flowers and animals that had basically been snuffed out by the shade of the trees. So by those trees burning, all of a sudden there was all these new things to see and new ecosystems, and that's why they just let them burn. Obviously,
sure,
they protect, you know, homes and, you know, towns, and so they don't let it burn, like, through where people are living. But as long as it's out in the wilderness, they kind of just let it do its thing, and that's why, because they feel like it rejuvenates that whole area and brings out new plants and new animals as nature intended.
Right, and the same thing with hurricanes, you know, it'll, like with the Bahamas, you know, you went through, you know, around the Grand Island with the hurricanes, you know, just basically leveled everything on that island. Well, it's going to rejuvenate. It'll come back, and it'll come back bigger and better than before. And sometimes you have to, like, cleaning your closet out, just throw everything out and just start anew. So nature kind of recycles things on its own, and we call it a disaster, but, you know, that's what happens before you get new things to happen, which
are nice. It's a disaster because we've put ourselves in the way.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
We are in the way. You know,
well, yeah, if we would get out of the way, it wouldn't be considered a disaster.
Right. And sometimes we lose human life, but that's some of the balance that nature does as well, unfortunately. So.
Yeah, and that's hard. I understand what you're saying, you know, and if we could get people out of the way before those things arrive, that would be even better, but not always possible, you know.
Correct.
So, all right, well, Bill, thank you very much for all the extra information there. Bill Jackelman, our meteorologist, will be back right after the news to talk about the fires in Australia.